from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. This was a big week in the world of Missouri redistricting. For a brief refresher, Missouri Republicans created a new congressional map in September, and it's been in a state of legal and political purgatory ever since. This past week saw some big court decisions. Cole County Judge Christopher Limbaugh ruled that lawmakers could redraw congressional lines in the middle of the decade, a decision that will be appealed to the Missouri Supreme Court. And U.S. District Judge Zachary Bluestone threw out a lawsuit from Attorney General Katherine Hanaway that sought to stop a referendum over a new congressional map aimed at ousting Democrat Emanuel Cleaver from his Kansas City-based seat. The day after Bluestone's decision, the advocacy group People Not Politicians submitted more than 305,000 signatures to place the map up for a statewide vote. That was a move that the group's executive director, Richard Von Glahn, said was a monumental show of direct democracy.
Missouri voters are going to be the final deciders on this issue. Our democracy belongs to us, not to politicians, and we're going to have the final say.
I would love to spend the next hour examining the minutiae around some of these developments, such as how Limbaugh utilized a line of argument eerily similar to a pivotal scene in the 1997 family comedy Air Bud to uphold the new map. But I'd rather focus on how Missouri Republicans reacted to the redistricting referendum. Since the signature gathering effort was launched in September, Secretary of State Denny Hoskins and Attorney General Katherine Hanaway have used legal and procedural maneuvers to block the referendum from going to voters. In addition to Hanaway's lawsuit, Hoskins is trying to prevent tens of thousands of signatures gathered before mid-October from counting. He contends that he needs to approve the referendum for circulation first.
Currently, we are keeping all the signatures that were gathered before October 14th separate from those that were gathered after October 14th. We'll keep them. Currently, we are not counting those signatures, but we are keeping them in case a court order happens or something happens that says that those signatures must be counted.
Hoskins startled a lot of redistricting observers when he said the new map would go into effect. Hanaway then declared yesterday that the districts from the map passed back in September are officially in place. People Not Politicians attorney Chuck Hatfield said that statement ran afoul of the Missouri Constitution and recent precedent, and this will likely spark yet another legal battle in a saga full of legal battles. But it was this comment that hit at a broader observation about this particular era of Missouri politics.
These politicians are in a full-blown tantrum trying to figure out anything they can do to stop this. So I'm not surprised that they've made up yet another incorrect reason to try to stop the will of the people on this. But they're wrong, and if they persist in that position, sounds like they're starting to harden into it now, we will end up in court again.
Hatfield's sentiments perhaps showcase the most obvious and controversial tension in Missouri politics right now, how a lot of Republicans are openly hostile to Missourians enacting policies, or in the case of the new congressional map, repealing policies through statewide votes. That's possible in Missouri thanks to its initiative petition and referendum process. After all, this year saw the General Assembly repealing voter-approved paid sick leave requirements and trying to strike down abortion rights protections Missourians ratified more than a year ago. Legislators are also trying to make it nearly impossible to pass any constitutional amendment that the General Assembly doesn't put up for a statewide vote, a plan that prominent GOP political figures like Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger support.
These East Coast and left coast billionaires have hijacked our Missouri Constitution, and to the extent they haven't, the dysfunction of the Missouri legislature has now, we've got marijuana, whether you're for or against it, in the Missouri Constitution. We have online gaming, which is a very fluid situation, now embedded in our Constitution. We have abortion now embedded in our Constitution. Had the Missouri legislature addressed initiative petition reform years ago, we wouldn't have these issues.
It is true that a lot of out-of-state money flows into Missouri ballot initiatives, including the referendum effort. It's also true that President Donald Trump does not live in Missouri. Recall that Trump exerted enormous pressure on the General Assembly to redraw the state's congressional lines. In fact, the president started the great 2025 nationwide redistricting frenzy by getting Texas to create five more GOP-leaning seats to prevent Democrats from taking over the U.S. House. And the referendum in Missouri presents a major threat to Trump's goal for Republicans to maintain the House, hence the all-out legal and procedural push to enact the new congressional lines here. At least one Missouri Republican I spoke with this week found it distasteful how his party is reacting to things like the redistricting referendum and other voter-approved ballot items.
And it's always been just wildly hypocritical to work in that environment where my colleagues say the voters are smart enough to vote for me to send me to the Senate, but what I'll tell you what they're not smart enough to do is figure out the nuance of this ballot initiative or that ballot initiative.
That's Lincoln Huff, who represents the city of Springfield in the Missouri Senate. Huff was one of two Republican senators who voted against the map, as well as a procedural maneuver known as the previous question to cut off debate on the proposal. Not a single change was made to the new congressional map, which Huff points out is a major shift from previous redistricting efforts.
It's a meat grinder of a session every time we have to go through redistricting. But you know what happens? People get together and people negotiate and people talk. And we've never in my tenure, right, of almost 14 years now, we've never just been handed a map and said, here it is. Don't touch it. Don't even talk about it. Just pass it. Like, I think if you showed that map to a bunch of fourth graders, right, who are studying, you know, Missouri politics and state government, I think they'd look at that and say, who in the world drew this?
Huff is nearing the end of his tenure in the Missouri General Assembly due to term limits. And he says the redistricting gambit is indicative of troubling trends with the Missouri Republican Party and the National Republican Party.
You know, the folks in D.C., I think they're so hyper-focused on doing whatever the thing is that they want to do right now that almost, you know, ramifications be damned. We're not worried about where this thing's going to go in the next 6 months, 8 months, year, whether it gets tossed out. I mean, you know, my fear is, well, if a court says this map is unconstitutional, I mean, who's to say that, well, what we really need to do, Jason, is start replacing judges until we get the verdicts we want.
Republicans would counter Huff by saying that not everything that voters approve through a statewide initiative is good policy. For instance, Missourians approved campaign donation limits in 2016, and those guidelines did not stop large amounts of money from influencing Missouri elections, but it did make it much harder to track where it was going. Both Republicans and Democrats agree that voter-approved campaign finance system has been an utter failure. Denny Hoskins took a similar approach when asked how he would respond to critics who feel like he and other Republicans are trampling on popular sentiment by trying to derail the redistricting referendum.
As Secretary of State, my job is to administer the law, not make the law. That's the preview of the General Assembly as well as the governor. So if Missourians do not agree with Missouri state law, then they need to lobby their state representative, their state senator, as well as the governor to get the law changed. But my job as Secretary of State is to follow the law, and I believe that the law is very clear in the process that should take place with a referendum as well as congressional redistricting map.
Some Democrats I've talked to over the past year contend that Republicans are not going to change their hostility toward voter-approved measures unless they face political consequences. And that did not happen after they tried to torpedo a Medicaid expansion initiative in 2021, or when they engineered a reversal of a voter-approved state legislative redistricting system in 2020, or when they repealed a ballot item regulating dog breeding, or enacted conceal and carry over voter objections. Democratic State Senator Tracy McCreary of St. Louis County says voters need to be more proactive, especially since they've consistently backed the GOP having full control of Missouri's legislature and statewide offices.
Republicans have been in charge of the state of Missouri now for over 20 years. So things that that I hear complaints about every day when I take calls for my constituents, those are not problems that the Democrats have created in the Missouri legislature. Those are problems that the Republican politicians need to own. So people, voters need to start paying attention and communicating to people and having conversations with people, because we're not going to be able to get the state out of the mess that it's in without the voters getting more engaged.
So as the fight over Missouri's congressional lines continues on, it's hard to say if the deluge of redistricting news this week will alter longer-term political trends throughout the state. But given the fact that redrawing the lines on Missouri's map sparked so many people to sign their names to a referendum that the state GOP is trying to stop, it doesn't seem like the discord between what Missouri Republicans want to do and what many of the state's voters support will cease anytime soon. We need to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll talk with State Representative Lakeisha Bosley about what's next in the state's redistricting fight and how it will affect the 2026 legislative session. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. Welcome back to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. So as we established in the last segment, there's a fierce battle over Missouri's new congressional map, which seeks to transform Democrat Emanuel Cleaver's Kansas City-based district into a GOP-leaning seat. But a potential decision from the U.S. Supreme Court could provoke another redistricting fight over Missouri's first congressional district, which takes in all of St. Louis and part of St. Louis County. The conservative majority on the court is widely expected to strike down a part of the Voting Rights Act that protects minority-majority districts. And as U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt explained to me last week, the high court's decision could have an impact on the first district, which has had a majority or plurality African-American population for decades.
I do think the Supreme Court will say that, that as applied, that section has essentially been abused in further racial discrimination, meaning they're drawing congressional districts for the overwhelming purpose of gerrymandering by race, which is unconstitutional and not allowed in this country, and it shouldn't be allowed in this country. As to what they do with a future map, I'll leave that up to the legislature. I think that you'll see a number of those discussions, not just in Missouri, but across particularly the Mid-South and the Southeast in the South, as these districts have been protected by, I think, an interpretation of the law that's about to get thrown out.
If Republicans are able to go after the first district, it would mark a startling end to an unusual alliance between GOP lawmakers and Black Democrats in St. Louis, and it could have broader ramifications for Missouri congressional politics and African-American political power. Joining me to discuss the future of the first district is State Representative Lakeisha Bosley, a Democrat who represents the St. Louis-based 79th District. Representative, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
It's always great to be here. Thank you for having me, Jason.
Last month, Attorney General Catherine Hanaway's office defended the new congressional map that we've been talking about on this program by saying the map lawmakers approved in 2022 contains an unconstitutional racial gerrymander, the first congressional district. And it would be an unconstitutional racial gerrymander if the U.S. Supreme Court throws out a map in Louisiana. What was your reaction when you saw that brief?
I told you so. It was my immediate reaction. We had this conversation in the legislature when we were doing this unconstitutional, which I believe is unconstitutional and absolutely morally wrong, of trying to do a midterm redistricting about how this would affect the first congressional district and how the first congressional district under this map has changed.
And can you explain how it's changed, by the way?
So it has shifted south. So that is now encompassing right up where we would call District 1, which is Doug Beck's district,
area. In South St. Louis County, yes.
In South St. Louis County. So it has shifted completely down to that area. And it's butting up against that, which is majority a white area. So we've picked up a lot more white voters if this map was to go into effect. It's unfortunate, though, that we got to have this conversation. I think that it is important to note that the senator definitely is correct when he says, where are these districts going to come from? And it's going to come from the South, which is the reason why we had the Voting Rights Act put into place to begin with. So, no, it is not a unconstitutional thing to make sure that people of color have representation as they are referring to the U.S. Senate or the U.S. House of Representatives. We want representation to matter, and it's going to happen to the first congressional.
So I asked Hanaway's office, like, how she came up with this conclusion, given that the first district under the new map, while it has changed, and we'll discuss that more, from a functional standpoint, would still probably elect an African American. And she said it was because there was no racial data that was used to put the proposal together, and therefore the new map was, quote, race blind. What do you think about that?
I believe we passed something that stated that it had to be balanced when it comes to race. So if it's race blind, then we are absolutely not doing our part in making sure that the Voting Rights Act applies.
Because, by the way, I should point this out. The Voting Rights Act Section 2 is still in effect until the Supreme Court decides.
Yeah.
And the reason that's important is, and I wasn't the person that pointed that out, Congressman Wesley Bell will point out that out in this clip right here.
I think it's an insult to anyone with an ounce of common sense. The idea that in their kind and kindred spirit, the Missouri legislature is just looking to be, to anticipate a ruling by a court and therefore violating what the law of the land is now and what the courts have interpreted the Constitution now, I think it's just a straw man argument. Everyone knows it. And what got this going was President Trump made a call in to not only the governor of Texas, but also the governor of Missouri and said, give me another seat. That's where this started. And what I would say is we don't even have to focus on the racial component, which I think in this country we can't ignore. But also just the fact that voters in the Kansas City area have more in common with one another than they do with farmers 250 miles away on the Illinois-Iowa border.
That was Missouri Congressman Wesley Bell reacting to Attorney General Catherine Hanaway's legal brief, stating that a pending U.S. Supreme Court decision could imperil the first district. So I interrupted you mid-answer, but I did want to include the congressman making a point you were about to make, so continue.
I mean, it's all there. It's relevant. And it's so great to have like minds when we're talking about this. We don't want to focus on race, but it is a part of what is currently right now in our Constitution with the Voting Rights Act. And I think that it's imperative for us to look at the facts that our legislature, and I'm trying my best to find the words that are not as abrupt and as harsh as I would like to be, because people really need to understand what's at stake here. And the legislature is playing with people's lives, quite literally. And that means that they're playing with their access to their legislature and to their representatives.
So one of the reasons why Hanaway's brief surprised me is that Republicans have been the biggest supporters of the first district for decades, mm-hmm. because it makes the second and third districts much more Republican. Mm-hmm. In fact, white Democrats in St. Louis, not Republicans, have been the biggest antagonists of this district over the last 40 or 50 years. Just read any of Bill Clay's books,
yeah.
and he will talk about how Republicans were the most helpful people in creating the first district.
Yeah.
That was probably your reaction too, as somebody who may know a little about St. Louis politics based mm-hmm. off your family lineage, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, there has always been an alignment for African Americans and for people of color, especially in the city of St. Louis, when it comes to protecting certain rights for everyone. And I think that it's important to note that what the time that you're talking about is when they got rid of, I believe that was Russ
Carnahan's
seat. And it was a lot of contention around whether to keep the first congressional district, which was to keep Bill's Clay's, or to keep Russ Carnahan. And ultimately, the conversation was, listen, we want to preserve African-American representation in Congress and in the city of St. Louis.
Yeah, the deciding votes on that were from African-American, two African-American Democrats from St. Louis and two from Kansas City to break Governor Nixon's veto. So that's an example of this alliance working. And one of the things that I think hasn't been talked a lot about for this new map, mm-hmm. this is probably the first time maybe in like 60, 70 years, mm-hmm. that there was not one African-American Democrat who voted for this map.
Or supported it. Nope.
Can you talk about like what that means and what this means that this alliance I talked about may no longer be in play for future redistricting cycles?
So let's think about the history of African-American voting, right? Most people don't realize that African Americans and Black people were originally Republicans mm-hmm. before they were Democrats.
Yes.
And the shift happened during the Civil Rights Movement because the Republican Party at that time would not get our leaders, civil rights leaders, out of jail. They were like, no, we don't want to touch that. So Black people said, we'll show you better than we can tell you. And we moved to the Democratic, what is now considered the Democratic Party, which is why we have such a stronghold within this party, because we built it from what it is, from where it was to what it is now. And I think that it's important for us to note, too, that because African-American people find a way, we've always been able to find a way to survive. We've been in survival mode for over 400 years when we were brought to this country, and some who were currently still here. And I think it's important to also mention that most African-American people come from conservative backgrounds, mm-hmm. are more so conservative when it comes to just anything you can think of, abortion rights, or it is ultimately because of the fact that for so many years we did not have the capacity to have access or control over our own rights. So we are not dictating or wanting to dictate someone else's. So the fact that you had elected leaders who were no longer supporting or in support because there was no benefit for anybody within this new congressional map.
I want to go to this new congressional map. Do you think the first district still has a plurality Black population under this new proposal, especially since the May 16th tornado may have displaced thousands of African Americans in North St. Louis?
Absolutely not. I think when we're seeing the shift of where African Americans are moving in this region, they're moving more north. They're going toward, I want to say northwest. So they're going toward the St. Charles's. They're going towards the Chesterfields. They're going towards the St. Peter's. So the way that this map is drawn, it went down south and it did not go up north. Why would you take Champ out of the first congressional district when there was a population of, what, one or two people
there? Not many. And I will just say that it is still probably permissible under the Voting Rights Act to drop a plurality African-American district, but like it, where African-Americans wouldn't be the plurality. as long as it's still high enough to where an African American would get elected, because not every white voter is going to vote against the black candidate.
That is true.
So I still think like a black candidate would win under the new district, unless it's a very divided field, like which happened in Memphis with Steve Cohen. But continue.
I mean, there could be possible. You are right. It could happen. But the facts are the facts. When you have a voting population of in the city where we don't even have a high turnout of, what, 15%? I don't think we've even broken 30% in the last, what, several
It depends on the election. I think you broke 30% during the presidential election. But if you're talking about municipal elections, yeah, the turnout hasn't been great at certain times.
It has not. And then when we're talking about mid-districting, if we look at midterm elections too in the city, you will also notice that the voter turnout is not very high as well. But I think that that plays in our favor this go around. I think what they're going to do is shoot themselves in the foot, because you have so much national attention around the GOP starving people, making sure that people do not have access to health care, which was the biggest fight that we've had since the Affordable Care Act came into play. I think these are some of the very pivotal things right now that will actually turn not only the congressional district, the first congressional district, on its head, but it could potentially put us in an uncomfortable position going forward.
Okay, so I want to play a clip from the September special session. It's of you, by the way.
Me?
Yes.
I love to hear myself.
Yes, during a committee hearing about the new map. I don't remember what committee it was, but in the House, it gets passed from a committee, and then it goes into a rules committee.
Yep.
And this was one of the rules committee. Here is State Representative Lakeisha Bosley in September.
Let's call these maps what they are. They are racist. Period. Full stop. And every one of you are going to probably sit there and pat yourselves on the back. Oh, she's crazy. Oh, she's fear-mongering. Oh, this is race baiting. No, you are the ones causing the race baiting. You're the ones getting people amped up and ready to go. You're the reason why people are protesting in the streets. Because you're not listening to them. And every chance you get, you want to step on the minority.
How did your colleagues react to you after you said that?
Well, they probably still feel the same way that I mean, listen, you got to call a spade when it is what it is. And of course, nobody likes the R word, or they don't like the term racist. And because racists don't like to actually know that they're racist, they don't want anyone to pull up the mirror to them to show them exactly who they are. So my colleagues on the other side of the aisle probably dismissed it. They probably was like, oh, here we go again, another black person calling us racist. And in their hearts of hearts, some of them may feel like this is not what it is.
I was going to say, because I did talk with State Representative Richard West after that hearing, and he said, you know, we're trying to maximize Republican gains. There's not a racial intent here. And I'm sure that maybe some Republicans said the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, listen, unintended consequences, it's the same as if you accidentally hit somebody with a ball, right? And you say, oh, I'm sorry. It still doesn't take the pain away that you hit them with the ball. You're still hitting people. And what you're doing right now, you may not intentionally meant to be racist, but the map within itself, the way that it is drawing, the way that it is dividing minorities, not only in the fifth congressional district, but also in the first congressional district, it is dividing people of color up and putting them in sectors and in areas, regardless of whether it's GOP or not, in places that they have no commonality. It is intentionally dividing people from their neighbors.
Yeah, especially in Kansas City, where the dividing line was Troost, which is basically the Kansas City equivalent of Del Mar.
Yes.
So I want to point that out to give our listeners context, because frankly, I don't know the geography of Kansas City as well as St. Louis.
And also, I don't think that, you know, unfortunately, my colleagues don't know the geography either, because this wasn't even their map to begin with. Nobody could give you data or information about how this map was drawn to in the first place.
So we've talked a lot on this show about the various scenarios about where Missouri's congressional map will shake out. But I want to ask you, how do you think this battle is going to affect your last year in the Missouri House?
I'll be honest. What happened in the Senate was absolutely deplorable. PQ after PQ after the PQ. And that's the previous question. You can pretty much say that the Senate turned into the House. I think there are a lot of senators who are very still upset about that, at lie after lie after lie after lie. I don't know if we're going to each have a functioning Senate this go around.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I sat through the hearing that Representative West did on the map, and I came away being like, he let everybody talk up from the crowd. He gave them extra time. He waited until everybody was done. I was like, this could have gone a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
And there was actually an attempt to let people speak. The outcome was predetermined.
Yeah.
Not so much in the Senate, because they cut out debate pretty quickly. And the committee hearings, I think, were pretty short.
Yes.
By consideration.
Yes, they were.
If there is gridlock from the backlash from redistricting, how is that going to affect really critical things? Like, there could be a need for the legislature to provide more money for the tornado.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not going to be able to happen because there's not a functional Senate?
I think we had a lot of favor with our approach chairs on both sides, in the House and in the Senate. And I think that we can still get tornado relief dollars, but that may look very different. Because now you have the House, which will be in control, where typically we would have at least someone on the other side of the chamber that would give some recourse to allow us to go to a committee, to have a conference committee on these decision items. But now, when you have people who are complete lock and step, there is no room for error.
Though I mentioned this will be your last year in the Missouri House. You started in 2019, which was a very different world from 2025. Do you think, what do you kind of think the Missouri legislature is compared to when you entered?
Civility is no longer a part of the conversation. This is a all-out knuckle fight. And I mean that in terms of when you have people who have so much power, they don't feel like that they need to talk to anybody else who may have an opposing view. And I think right now we are in a space where you have a polarizing, demanding, and yet tyrannical president who will call, threaten, do any and everything. We saw it happen in Indiana. We're seeing it happening in Missouri, where you had our governor was like, how could you say no to this guy? When they put him on speakerphone in a call in a closeted room to have this conversation about redistricting. I think we are in very dangerous times when you will not allow the opposing voice to have its say, cutting off debate and also cutting off committee hearings and not even wanting to listen to the people to begin with.
State Representative Lakeisha Bosley is a St. Louis Democrat who has represented Missouri's 79th House District for the last 7 years. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.